when ports and ships are coming with you know, varieties of different qualities of the Lord, how some philosophical aspect of the feature of that sort of truth. That will come to show in text number 6 is there are 3 different categories of Vaishnavas that are explaining in the purport, in detail, but Narasimha Madhava and come. And 7 and 8 are actually explained. This very famous book, Asurya Naam Te Loka, and Dena Samastha Vrita, Samastha Vrita, Samastha Vrita, Samastha Vrita, Samastha Vrita, Samastha Vrita. So, the translation goes, the killer of the soul, whoever he may be, must enter into the planet known as the world of the faithless, full of darkness and ignorance. So here, Prabhupada mentions there are 2 different categories. There are many Atmana. Actually, in the 2 are mainly given Asuras and Asuras. So there are many Asuras. There are many people. There are different categories of Atman. Some are very strong Asuras. Some are little less Asuras. And they are all Asuras. Asuras are with the second paragraph.
Intelligent human beings must always remember that soul obtains a human form after an evolution of many millions of years in the cycle of transmigration. The material world is sometimes compared to an ocean, and the human body is compared to a solid boat designed specially to cross this ocean. The Vedic scriptures and the acharyas or saintly teachers are compared to the expert boatman. And the facilities of the human body are compared to the favorable breezes that help the boat fly smoothly to its desired destination. If with all these facilities a human being does not fully utilize his life for self-realization, he must be considered Agnaha, a killer of the soul. Sri Upanishad warns in clear terms that the killer of the soul is destined to enter into the darkest of ignorance to suffer the future.
So this is wonderful sloka Prabhupada has quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam. Hridayam Adyam Sulabham 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 Guru Karana Dharam Maya Nuku Rena. As a sloka is like that in Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the whole population of this particular paragraph. So that is Atmaha. So this analogy you can understand, like what is compared with Nudeya Madhyam's mode, and then by accepting all these favorable things, accepting Guru as the captain and the favorable breach, that is the facilities of the human body are compared with favorable breach. And all the instruction given in literature are considered to be the favorable grade. Here, Prabhupada has given human category. Srimad Bhagavatam is mentioned before. So, same thing, more or less. So, one who does not accept or does not utilize this human form in such a way. And he is Atmahana. So Atmahana, there are many Atmahana. Even earlier in Bhagavad Gita also we discussed about Atmahana. To accept the human or something like Kripana. You have a human body and you are not meant for this eating, drinking, eating, like defining. And when you misuse this, all the facilities that all the special prerogative of human life, then you are Atmahana. Also in this Prabhupada also mentioned that earlier in Satyuga, the Asuras, they used to stay in a different planet. was like shifting in different planets. And they used to travel in the plane. Then in Treta Yuga, they all used to stay in one same planet, around in different cities. Different place. Then in Dwapara Yuga, one house, there were Asura and Kura both. They both used to stay together in the same house. And in Kali Yuga, they stay in one man, one body. Asura and Kura both. So, yeah, even as they are devotees, sometimes you see the devotees there, they're doing all godly things. Sometimes they're doing horrible things. You know, because they're neophytes. So the demons are still there in their heart, in a form of ignorance. And they do sinful things, sinful activities. Because sometimes our anarthas and are so strong that even though we are in devotional life, but we make mistakes, we do something nonsense and all. So that is in Kali Yuga, in the same body, both are staying. Prabhupada has given this. But as Bhagavad Gita says, that whoever is there, one who is, whoever is saying, Atma Sambhavita Santa Dharma Dhanita Yeni Nama Yeni Dhanena Amritu. That is the other shloka, 9.3. Ashuddha Dhana Purusha. So whoever not surrender or were like after this they're forced to go, they're still to go to darkest region of the world. Now there are a few points of this her shloka, and we just summarize that once again, the her mantra. One's merit in life is judged according to the extent to which he takes to the highest responsibility in human life. One's merit in life is judged according to the extent to which he takes to the highest responsibility in human life. That is for spiritual discipline. Human life is designed to be a vehicle for the that way of discipline. Vehicle for the wayward is told to come to full consciousness, unlike animals, whose lives are simply a struggle for maintenance. Human beings are given facility to inquire about the nature of reality. When one denies the prime duty of inquiry, instead living simply to feed and enjoy the body is nothing more than a punished animal. Furthermore, the fear of the soul, Atma, covers over the true nature of his eternal self. Such people must train very hard like animals just to receive a minimal bodily comfort during their lifetime. At that, all of their work is ruined and simply leads to a lower body in the next life. Prabhupada also uses more and more perpetually. Perpetually doesn't mean that they always go. If for a long time, perpetual means they go perpetually for the darkest region. That is, it means it is for a long, long time, it's not for eternal. So one who gets self-realization is provided for material even, it does not achieve the highest of faith. Here one point is there that even though one has a desire to fulfill material requirements, or you know, fulfill the material desire, somebody has anything. But same time he is having the goal to attain pure use of service. He is also not the loser. He will not go to darkness with him. Even though he may not get the ultimate success in this lifetime, but he will get it in the next life. So you should have only one desire, that they should not have many lifetimes. Because the risk to go on next life is very risky. But he is not a loser. That is also some other kind. Then, from the quotation, Prabhupada, this modern civilization is like that. It is a killing civilization. All these people are killing themselves, Atma, because they do not know what life is. Simply living like an animal. An animal does not know what life is, but it's life, but it's simply under the laws of nature. But when you get this human form of life, there is responsibility. Here is a chance for you to become Krishna consciousness and solve all the problems of life. It's not you go into the cycle of birth and death again. 8,400,000 people. It will take many, many millions of years again to come back to human form. Just like we see the sunshine again in the morning after 12 hours, 24 hours, everything is process. Process, so if you lost this opportunity of elevating yourself, then again you come to the process. Nature's law is very strong. Devi Esha Kunma is. Kunma is surrender to Krishna, Mahaya to Kunma. I get up very good. The person is able to overcome this process of transformation. So, we see that people are how they are killing themselves, you know, like animals. This is good for creatures. You can use it. How the human birth is there. So, how the what is the value of the human birth? You can mention. But more information. People in general do not know what comes after that. There are so many things after that, there is no education. Therefore, they are in darkness. This human form of life is misused in darkness. If anyone does not know the value of life, then it is misused. That's what it's called Atmaha, coming suicide. Hari Hari Vipale Janama Bhavayana, also Janama Paya Radhakrishna Abhadiya, coming suicide. If you do not come to Krishna consciousness, by guiding this valuable human form of life, suddenly we are committing suicide. We are drinking poison mainly. That's how the reward is. Except by having such... See, this is one way to understand. The other way to understand is that for the reward is, you got body, you got guru, you got scripture, you got society, you got ISKCON, you got chanting, without deity, without process, without everything, but Radha Krishna not to be. But then still we did not try to take it seriously. Then they are making everything. Then we are taking that seven people. So, when the facilities for human life is mentioned, so we can also take in this work. That we also have got facilities to come up, you know, to make your life successful. If you do not use them, then also we are committing suicide. This is called spiritual suicide. So we cannot be maimed, cannot be killed, but this suicide is something more than the bodily suicide. The bodily suicide will show you only to the ghost life. After you finish your quota of ghost life, you again come to the, you know, in the process. But Atmahana, spiritual suicide means that you are misusing the same thing almost. That's why it is the word is used, suicide. Besides, the bad opportunity, he didn't want to use to do it. But he says, no. This was the summary. I referred after. And then, he got the fourth and fifth. Mantra 4 explains why such people are unable to understand the Lord's position. He is beyond material calculation and is thus known only when he reveals his best existence. And Mantra 5 also means to be together. Mantra 5 continues this discussion describing that the Lord has inconceivable potential which render him unknowable to those when he does not favor. So, Mantra 4,
although things in his about the personality of Godhead is sweeter than the mind and can overcome all other cunning. The powerful demigods cannot approach it. Although in one way, he controls those who supply air and rain. He surpasses all in excess.
You have two qualities I am going here. You can read the third paragraph.
Thus, the different energies of the Lord are present everywhere.
Second paragraph.
Although his energies are innumerable, they can be divided into three principal categories: the internal potency, the marginal potency, and the external potency. There are hundreds and millions of subheadings to each of these categories. The dominating demigods who are empowered to control and administer such natural phenomena as air, light, and rain are all classified within the marginal potency of the absolute person. Lesser living beings, including humans, also belong to Lord's marginal potency. The material world is the creation of Lord's external potency, and the spiritual sky where the kingdom of God is situated is the manifestation of his internal potency.
So, Prasa Bhakti Devadeva Shriyate. Krishna has so many multi-potentials and he can do everything with his potential. And everything is, you know, is how many qualities are mentioned in this sloka? I would say not. Four qualities. Krishna eternally in his transcendental abode, yet is simultaneously expanded throughout creation by his all pervasive energy. So even though he is fixed, the world is meant to be fixed there, he is already there in his abode, but he can do everything with his energy. So the Prabhupada's son was walking with Prabhupada. When he was a small boy, he saw a cat, he said, upside, and he said, Prabhupada, I mean, Daddy, he said that the moon is walking with us. The moon was walking around with us. And Prabhupada thought that, see, if the moon can walk with us, then how mighty God cannot walk. I mean, even though he's staying there, one place, but he can walk. He walks. Even though he's one place, but he can do multi things together. Even though the moon can do everything. You know, everyone has different realizations. Why can God cannot? His energy expands. The God can expand his energy in many, and he can do all the varieties of creation. You can do all the things. Right? This philosophical point explains why the Lord is faster than the mind and the speed is quicker than all other running. It is because he pervades all of reality through his energy. That is all at all places at once. It makes everywhere accessible to him instantly. Hence, he is the sister and all of us. He is all pervading, yet simultaneous, localized existence is impossible to understand without his mercy. But he is faster than the mind of the soul of this planet. So understanding the Lord's energy also clarifies why he confirms the demigod in excellence and power. They are one of his energies and constitutes a subordinate to him. This one point is there. And second point, there it is. Personal incarnate cannot be understood by the ascending process, but can be known by his devotees, by his mercy. This philosophical point explains why the Lord is faster than the mind. The Krishna has commenced that as beyond the laws of intuition. One is speculative with the speed of the mind, but you will find the Lord dominates even out of the reach. As these speculations are conditioned by the The jiva, so that is mentioned here in the particular point, whether it is durlabham, adurlabham, atmapasthana. One cannot understand God even the first 40, so tabat sarva sampragam. One can vile thought manaso manukundava. One can try to, run on the speed of the mind, but billions and billions of years, you cannot achieve all. You cannot understand. At the same time, even though you may try to understand with a lot of speculation and philosophical understanding, but you cannot understand because everything is dry. Dry in the sense because there is no connection between him and God. There is a connection, the connection is God himself or his devotee or his mercy. Then only you can understand. The jiva souls are part and parcel of the complete whole. Being small in nature, they do not have the ability to comprehend the Lord's full potential. When they try to understand it, they will never ever understand the full potential of the Lord. Therefore, one must learn of the Lord from the Lord himself by following the path of the Vedas and cultivating humble submission to the Lord himself, which himself will give one ability to understand. This understanding entails knowledge of the Lord and his energy, as well as one's own constitution position. All power is obtained, submissive service attitude. All power is obtained through submissive service attitude. Again, the Isavasa principle is established here as the means to reawaken our knowledge of and connection with Krishna. This is the summary of text 4. Something different is, why it is so much, philosophical, but Upanishads are meant for philosophical discussion. Upanishads, you will not find kathas. Upanishads are only meant for understanding the philosophical aspect of the Lord. That is a science problem. It is not meant to confuse people. But so many people get confused by it. Now the next slope is even more confusing. For the non-devotees. For the devotees,
the Supreme Lord walks and does not walk. He is far away, but he is very near as well. He is within everything, and yet he is outside of
everything. Yeah. Like he walks, he looks at his outside. This is a contradiction. The purpose is here that ordinarily, someone can walk, it is illogical to say he cannot walk. When in reference to God, such a contradiction to indicate his inconceivable power. With our limited fund of knowledge, we cannot accommodate such contradictions. That's what we conceive of the Lord in terms of our limited powers of understanding. For example, the impersonal philosophers of the Maoists will accept only the Lord's impersonal activity and reject his personal features. The member of Bhagavad who erupts in the perfectness of the Lord accepts his impersonal presence and does understand that he is both personal and impersonal. This is what we have learned from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, since they are Vedavid Sattva. He is simultaneously one and he is different. He walks, but he doesn't walk. He is Nirguna, but he has a full of connection. That is the main attempt at understanding the Supreme must first take into account his inconceivable potential. Not understanding the concept of transcendental potential, Maoist philosophers are forced to reject some of the classic description of the Lord, such as where it is explained that the Lord can walk. They cannot digest. They are therefore hampered by a limited concept of absolute. They are limited. Similarly, he can do anything. He can lift the gold from the hills. But he doesn't require to go to any, you know, gymnastics to practice. But he is because. And similarly, Krishna, you know, he gets married. He won't be sure that, you know, he is such a special. He will get married to 16,000. Yeah. It's not ordinary marriage level. Same way, if the people can say that, oh, you can also try to marry. Then Krishna said, okay, then you do what I do. You see what I do. And Krishna, what he did, he remained in each and every single palace with them. In every single palace, he stayed with that. With every single thing. So this is what he can do, which nobody can do. He can walk, but he cannot walk. The Bhagavad devotee understands that the Lord must have inconceivable potential. He cannot do. He can do anything. There is nothing impossible. And thus both person and impersonal at the same time. The Bhagavatams know that without inconceivable potency, there can be no meaning of the word Supreme Lord. Such inconceivable potency are proven by description in Shastra, which appears contradictory to the perspective. Now, two Mayavadi arguments can be defeated in these words. That God is a mortal being and that he comes before us with a body produced by a matter. These arguments are nullified if we accept the existence of the Lord's inconceivable potency. Then you will understand that even if the Lord appears before us in the form of material energy, it is quite possible for him to convert this energy into spiritual energy. The source of the energy is the one and the same. The energy can be utilized according to the will of the source. That is. And the second point, the Lord's potencies make him simultaneously near and far. He is far away in the future about, but is near because he can immediately make himself visible. So despite the Lord's in that previous verse. The Lord is always near to the surrenders, as he reveals his presence to them. He is far away from the non-believers. So he covers himself with the reason. This is quite easy to understand. But even though he is not visible here, he is far, far out from us. You know, as we see the calculation, then, you know, the layers of the, like the sky, you see, there are 14 planet systems, but after 14 years, there is one layer and then the ten times. You know that the sky layer and 10 times we have a fire layer and water layer, and basically the whole universe is made of. After training, then you have to cross the graveyard, you then you can go to the Brahma Jyoti, and then you can go to Vaikuntha Dhyan, and then you may go back. So, it's a big journey. It's very far. Very far, far. But he can appear within a fraction of moment in front of you. Then you have to use. He's returning in your heart. Even he's far, far away, so he's staying in your heart. That's why Antar Bahir. For him, everything is possible. For non-devotees, it's impossible. They cannot understand even the God is presenting before them. They cannot understand. Krishna's manifestation as the Artha Vigra is an example of how he uses the inconceivable philosophy to meditate himself to the Vigra of the devotee. Krishna is in Golok, yet expanded by Golok. We also confirm in Brahma Charita. Although Krishna is always in Golok Vrindavan, there is nothing to do. He is simply enjoying his community with associates, with gopis and a coward boy, mother and father. Completely free, and those who are in associates are freer still because when they are in anger, although Krishna is anxious how to save them, they are not anxiety. Krishna has anxiety. They don't have anxiety. Oh, that is Krishna. That's what they say. Associates have anxiety. You're reading Krishna book, but there were so many dangers. The boys along with Krishna used to go every day with that cows and shaved and play in the forest on the bank of the Yamuna and come to send some women to destroy them. You have read and you see all the pictures. They will enjoy things because they are so confident. They will enjoy it because they will confident. That is spiritual life. The strong faith is not in dangerous condition, Krishna will tell you. And then the other condition is Krishna himself takes care of the devotees in the ordinary living area, taking care of the Maya. Maya is also Krishna's agent. Just like good citizens, they are taken care of by the government directly. The women are taken care of by the government. In the prison department. They are also taken care. In the prison house, the government takes care that the prisoners are comfortable. They get sufficient food, if they are diseased, they receive hospital treatment, every care is there, but under condition. You know, in the material world, there is a care certainly, so you have punishment. If you do this, then slap. If you do that, then kick. If you do this, then little burn. This is called 3-4 misery. But in the spell of Maya, we are thinking that the kicking of Maya, the slapping of Maya, the threshing of Maya is illness. This is called Maya. As soon as you become Krishna conscious, Krishna takes care of you. As soon as you surrender, Krishna will give you the exercise, I will take care of you. I will save you from all sensibilities. His conscious will explain our life. So many lives in this matter. So, as you surrender to Krishna immediately, Krishna takes care of you and he manages to address all the things. Don't hesitate. Krishna is all powerful. He can save you. You have to choose to surrender to him. Without any reservation, dedicate your life for his service and that you will be saved. I saw the difference between mental speculation and philosophical speculation. We take it that everything is known by the psychological action of the mind. And the philosophical speculation is same as mental speculation. It is merely the random or accidental activity of the brain to understand everything by making theories, if and maybe. But if philosophical speculation directed by Shastra and Guru, the whole first philosophical attempt is to achieve Vishnu, then the philosophical speculation is not necessary. So here, this way, how do you understand this? You can accept whatever we offer by any of his senses. He also said, God neither has eyes nor ears, he can see and hear everything. These are apparent contradictions, but they are made to teach us an important lesson. When we speak of things, we think of material Buddha. This is our material conception. We think that the eyes of God must be like ours. Therefore, in order to remove this material conception, the Vedic teachers will say God has no hands, legs, eyes, ears, etc. God has eyes, but his vision is infinite. You can see the darkness. We can see everywhere at once. Therefore, he has different eyes. God has ears and can hear. He may be invisible, millions of miles away, but he can hear us visually because he is sitting in the mind. So, he is agreeing that whatever we accept, I will accept. Even though he is far, far away, but he accepts everything, whatever he says. This is the ultimate quality of the Lord. And also, there is one more quality of the Lord. Krishna's manifestation and Arjuna is an example of how he uses his intellectual potency to manifest himself to the ruler of the world. Arjuna is a form. There are many examples we have seen that Sakshi Gopal. You know that story? How the Brahmin say that you have to come for Sakshi treatment. But the Lord said, oh, have you ever seen the baby can even walk? There was in the DC can go. Then he said that if the DC can speak, then why can't he walk? Then he walked. And the same like Gaurija's Pandit, the master who made the DC. Then he said that if you just give me up, first he said that if you give me up, if you're going to go away, you are leaving me, then I will go and jump in the Ganges. I don't want to continue my life. Then he said, okay, don't. Do that, we make a DD tag for you. And they made a DD tag made of me. It's exactly like that. Then there several times it happened that the DD stayed back and then the Lord started moving. And then the God is the God is saying, no, what is this? No, let the DD go, you stay here. And Mama said, okay. Then Mama goes, not that they became DD and the DD started walking. And it happened 2-3 times and you can feel you are confused. Well, who are the DD and who are the real? God is as funny. No, God is it's in Amitra Kala. If you go, Amitra Kala. God is there, yeah. I have seen that several times. Life size with him. Yeah, life size, big, big eyes. Look exactly like the Lord. But you can understand, it's the same. There is no difference between him and the deity. So, same. You can understand that, oh, they will be looking like that. Just literally, by having darshan of deity, you can imagine then how the mouth, life, and it will be looking like. So that was that is inconceivable thing. Imperfect cannot even understand what's going on. Even the non-devotees cannot understand it. How the deities are reciprocating with the even Lord Jagannath is reciprocating with. Then for the sake of the protecting devotees, Jagannath is sometimes to bring the beard on his face just for the sake of purity, just to protect the body. Once there's some pastime like that. Somebody made a spoke made of Lal Gogan, her hair was there and a prashad went to the king and the king was just. Just that sometimes to the cook. we never knew how it happened. They started praying for protection to Kerala. Kerala became very kind to them. So I tell them that it was my hair from my beard. They went there. How come? There is no beard on Kerala. How is it possible that it is here? Because we don't know anything. We come and see. But the king has, the prophet, he came there. And he saw just apparently there was a beard for the moment. The king was perfect, no? There's a beard. And he was very much. Then he said, oh, what is this song? He said, such a growing of hair is well, you don't even shave them. You should shave the deities. So there is a shaving ceremony for the deities. Of course, there is nothing, all this thing is not applicable to the, practically, Krishna has never such, vikar or hair, growing of hair, beard and everything. Not for Krishna. But for the sake of Krishna can do anything. That is that you are incalculable to impossibility. So that is also in this Prabhupada is mentioning. I tell you very nice. This for poverty. Sorry, this for curiosity. For example, Lord can appear in the form of the Archavikra. If he is supposedly made of earth, stone or wood, if he forms also engraved from wood, stone or other matter, are not idols. As the iconoclast can say. So, these are some of the idols. We should not consider this. Lord is within all things as a super soul expansion, is within the hearts of every living being and in every atom. The Lord is outside of all things as the Virat Group, the universal form, which contains all space and time in the cosmos. The deal is different from the Lord. Lord is simultaneously inside and outside the creation through his Purusha avatar. The inside creation is Garbhodakshaya avatar. And outside creation is Mahavishnu avatar, another child. And through the, and in everyone's heart is the Kshara child. So it is everywhere. Not difficult to understand for a devotee. Okay, now, text. Of the Mahabharata, the great personality who says everything in relation to the Supreme Lord. So, the Supreme Lord's presence is realized in three stages, Manishra, Jivari, Matya, Manishra. So, this stage of, those are again second stage of.
Those are again the second stage of realization of one Matya, Manishra. These devotees observe the distinction between four categories of being the Supreme Lord and devotees. and who have no knowledge of the Lord, and the atheist who have no faith in the Lord, and they both in devotion. The Madhyam Adhikari behaves differently towards these four classes of persons. He adores the Lord, considering him the object of love. He makes friends with those who are in devotion. He tries to awaken the dormant love of God in the heart of the person, and he avoids the atheist who delights the very name.
So actually, in Srimad Bhagavatam, this is mentioned properly. There is Kanishka in Madhyam Adhikari, that is not Srimad Bhagavatam. So, yes, for summarizing, actually, we already discussed this thing in Master of Devotion also. So, it is quite clear for us to still. Kanishka Madhyam Uttamaya Sunda Anusari. We all are on faith. How the Lord can. The Kanishka Adhikari, the good understanding is the Kanishka Adhikari have faith in the deity form or the Lord. He has no faith in the devotee, so he doesn't respect the devotee. And they are also very less knowledgeable, or they don't have much knowledge. They have very deep faith. They are prone to change anytime. They can take several any time of office. Madhyam Adhikari, they have strong faith, they surrender, they have the knowledge, they are not experts, they have strong faith that they are doing their service with determination, and that they engage others also to the self of the Lord, and these are the four things is mentioned here. And Uttam Adhikari, they have strong faith, strong knowledge, Mahabharata, expert in knowledge, and they consider everyone elevated themselves, the Mahabharata. So these are the small three. Actually, I have a summary book, so I am reading from that. Kanishka Adhikari is the lowest stage of worship, where one is a materialistic devotee trying to advance. Such a devotee worships the Lord at a temple, etc. According to the rules of worship, he can only appreciate the Lord's presence at the place of worship and nowhere else. He does not have the ability to discriminate the advancement of others in devotion and salvation. They make mistakes of they have the material material tendencies are present in their behavior strong. They try to judge everyone on material platform. A very bad memory, Kanishka Adhikari. Even after coming to Krishna consciousness, they take devotees also as normal people, material people. And they deal with them also with the same way. They have a competitive mood. They have material competition they are applying. There are, you know, like all these things are there in Krishna Adhikari. They are also, you know, victim of envy, pain, and loss of desire. These are there in Kanishka Adhikari. Generally, when we are turning to Krishna consciousness in the way of service, we are, you know, sometime in Madhyam Adhikari, sometime in Kanishka Adhikari, sometime in Madhyam Adhikari. We are in that, but Uttam Adhikari is not possible so easily. One cannot become Mahabhagavata. One has to come to the place of Nishtha, at least. Because until the anartha nirvritti is not gone, we are still not Mahabharata. And we have already learned. So, Madhyam Adhikari, this is the second level where one has the discrimination to make distinction between four categories of human that they have just read. And That is Prema Maitri Kripa Apeksha. Ishvareshu Sadarjaneshu Bhavitesu Jisasucha Prema Maitri Kripa Apeksha Tat Karoshi Sa Tat Karoshi Sa Madhya. Prem to the Lord. Prema Maitri. Ishvareshu Prema Maitri. Love to the Lord. Prema Maitri. Then should be the devotee to the thing. Prema Maitri. Ishvareshu Sadarjaneshu. Then should be the devotee. Bhavitesu. Prema Maitri Kripa. Bhavitesu be the devotee. Much it was there. And apeksha. So were ignorant but envious. So apeksha needs to be avoided. So this is the way of dealing of Madhyama Adhikari. Samsama Adhikari. In this case, the highest thing devotional service, the devotee sees all things in relation to the Lord. Does not discriminate between others due to bodily type, occupation, village, but rather treats them as far as all as far in Bhagavad Krishna. Accordingly, he tries to help them advance from their respective level of consciousness. Number 6 of his Upanishad describes the vision of such an Upanishad. Prabhupada's next point that there are many people who artificially try to imitate the symptoms of their Upanishad by flaunting from sentimental sense of money on material level. Such people are not qualified to teach others about spiritual wisdom, as they are completely unrealized on the matter. One must approach the Uttam Adhikari for actual knowledge about universal brotherhood. Without doing so, he remains on the material platform with no information about the spiritual world. These are the governments of Uttam Adhikari. And sometimes this is Radharani is perfect in the perfect Uttam Adhikari. Even our acharyas, you see, they are also Uttam Adhikari. These are not Mahabharata. He has no discrimination with devotee, who is not devotee, who is appeased, who is pissed. In this way, he sees everyone as part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. And everyone is angry. One who is suffering, he is also angry, just like a prisoner. The prisoner is also serving the government by force. Therefore, one who is elevated, the Mahabharata is, he is obeying. He also obeys. Even though who are in an abominable state of life, actually he is obeying. The prisoners are obeying the government, although by force, but they are obeying. Similarly, those who are materialists are also obeying. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's stroke of Jaya Sarupai Krishna Nityananda. If you accept Krishna's jurisdiction, if you accept Krishna's rules and regulations, or if you accept Krishna's authority, or you accept Maya authority, but Maya is also under Krishna's authority, so you are accepting Krishna's authority. That's the answer. Accept A, B, or C. A is accept Krishna's authority. B is A. And C is B. Anything. You understand? So, a living entity is eternal servant of Krishna, whether he admits it or not. That doesn't matter. He is a servant. Just like any citizen, he is a law abider, or subservient to the state. He may say, I don't care for the state. But by the police, by the military, he will be forced to accept. So one is being forced to accept Krishna's master, and the other is voluntarily offering service. Where is the difference? Nobody speaks on the service of Krishna. That is not possible. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy is that we are eternal servants. Either you accept or deny that you are the servant, you are never equal nor greater than a god. So when Krishna calls this moment for a purpose, the people should be taught you are eternal of God. Don't falsely claim that you are God. If you don't care for God, you have to care. It's like Granya Kashipu. You don't care for God, but God came to him at the last moment Similarly, God is visible to the appearance of that fish or the lover. That is different. Everyone sees God. Nobody can see everyone sees God. Everyone sees God. That is the difference. So, Prabhupada is saying here, that this special leader of Mahabharata, that they say everyone is on equal level. But one should not try to imitate it. Like Prabhupada, he got never, you know, panic. There was once, he was in Bombay, there was a war, okay, in the bus. So there was a bomb, there was, you know, throwing bombs around. Somebody said, the Prabhupada is rich, he buried you, he holds on you. I thought, like, if Krishna wants, then I should die in this way. And I'll accept it as good. Prabhupada never said, oh, so you're rascal, Pakistan, and I agree with you. Prabhupada never said that. Prabhupada said that everyone is this. Of course, what is there in everyone's heart, whatever Krishna will say, then only they will do everything. It's very nice understanding that Prabhupada is staying in everyone's heart. Nobody is free to do anything without his permission. Nobody is free to do anything without his permission. So devotees take everything that whatever he is facing is all desire of desire. He doesn't blame anyone, he doesn't give any excuse anyone or because he knows that whatever I'm facing, everyone Lord is there in everyone's heart, I'm destined to get this and that. Prabhupada was never saying he was telling Mahabharata, he never sitting there anyway. If I think in Mayavadis are okay, that's a different thing that the preacher, yes, but your originally from his heart was Mahabharata. That is what you already mentioned. You know, Mahabharata came out to preach. You can come. Mother never tried yesterday. So preaching says you can come down. So, one more point. Living reality in the proper perspective involves following the previous acharya's concept. The Sanskrit word describing our method of seeing is anupashyati. This is anupashyati. Pashyati is to watch, to see, to look. And anupashyati means following. Anu is everywhere. Anu means to follow. Real vision is not dependent on one's blunt material eyesight, but is to hear description of reality from those who have a superior angle of vision. This knowledge is passed from a disciplined succession, passed down in a disciplined succession. Following the disciplined succession gives one the perspective by which one may get direct realization of transcendence as described in the Sanskrit. So,